Well, hey, folks, thanks for joining Alan and me for an edition of How Do We Figure Out How to Get You the Best Rate? Or actually, our slogan, one application, one credit pool. We're going to compare your loan to over 30 different lenders. Hey, Alan, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, Dan.
How's the weather over on that side of the country?
Same as yours.
Here's what's going on, folks. We have a government shutdown. And then on top of that, we have Federal Reserve issues. And then on top of that, here's other things that we just got in today. We had a payroll number that was completely dismal. And now here's, if you look at the stock market, you're probably thinking, okay, what in the world's going on with this? So we're going to try to help you guys to determine this afternoon is how do you get out there and really make sense of all these markets, especially if you're trying to figure out, you know, what kind of mortgage rates you can get. How are you out there searching to find a, you know, find that best rate? So we do have a slogan, and I always say it, one application, one credit pool. We're going to compare your loan over 30 different lenders. So what we want to show you guys behind the screens today is, and this is how we do it. So every day I come in and I post, you know, what's happening in the mortgage environment and the whys behind it. But what we want to talk about today is actually jumping in to show you guys what we actually do. So Alan and I will kind of explain that as we go through, but I do want to go through, here's kind of the highlights we want to go with you guys over with you guys today. So how do we do this? How do we compare your application and your one credit pool that we're going to do with over 30 different lenders? So the easiest way to explain this is Alan and I both work at a bank and we have a federal license. So we're licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico. And that gives us the ability to help you out there if you're watching anywhere in the country. I've been doing this for over 30 years. Alan's been doing this for over 20 years. So we got great experience. But the unique thing we have about our situation is we're set up with over 30 different lenders, kind of like a broker. But we can't say we're a broker because we're a bank with a federal license. So what we do is, this is what we do. We're on a national basis, so anywhere in the country we can help you. So what you do is by putting in your application one time, we're going to pull your credit one time. And here's what happens behind the scenes. When you're going out to get your loan approved, well, we got to first, I'm going to walk you over to how to get your loan approved, and then we're going to start talking about how do we dive into these rates. So when you're getting your loan approved, you're going to put in your application, you're going to have your credit pulled, you have to have a hard credit pull, and then you're going to have, you know, no matter how many quotes you want to get, you're going to have to do that with every lender, credit union, bank, whatever you're working with. We have the ability to probably hit most of those companies you might be looking into. Other than like community banks and companies like that. We're set up with over 30 of the country's largest lenders. So we can assure you that you're getting the probably one of the lowest quotes in the market with the lowest fees. So here's what we want to do. We want to show you guys how we do it. But the benefit here is you don't have to go to every individual bank and put in your application and have your credit report pulled and then having, you know, quotes over here. Then what's happening also is you just might miss it. You know, within one day, you know, last or 2 weeks ago, we had within one day rates jumped 1/8%. Back about a year ago, after the Federal Reserve cut rates, rates jumped over 1% within about a week and a half. So if you're trying to avoid that, that's what we're trying to help you with here. So we just came up with our RateWatch 2.0 tool that I'll have access to that in just a little bit. But what we want to talk about today is what kind of rates you guys can get out there. So let's get over to any questions that you guys might have. Hopefully you guys are coming on board. But Alan, if we can go through, here's what I'm going to ask you guys to do. As you join us, if you can provide us with this information. But the content we want to go over with you guys today is we're going to go over a few different scenarios. We're going to go all the way from end to end. We're going to show you on a conventional loan how you can go from, you know, what it looks like to buy a home, maybe your first time home buyer with good credit scores. And then we're going to show you different variations of that and then what it would look like with an FHA loan or VA or USDA. Then we're going to show you how the points work because a lot of people are like, hey, Dan, what's the rate stack? Can I get the rate stack of things? I want you to understand how that works. Then there's also, it's completely different, what's called a 2-1 buy down. It's not you're paying points. This is actually a temporary buy down. I'm going to show you the calculations we have and I'll put the Excel spreadsheet down below. I'll start to share it down below for you. Then we're going to talk about locking and floating. And then any other questions that you have. So, Alan, if you want to dig into the first piece of this, can you walk through probably the most, you know, the most applications we're getting right now is from first time homebuyers, and or refinancing for rate and term. Can you show us, I'm going to pop up your screen here. So this is actually the system, folks, that we use. Alan's going to show it to you right here. Here's the system that we use. This is basically pulling the curtain back and showing you kind of what's behind the scenes. So, Alan, if you can walk them through a couple different scenarios, and then we'll get to some questions, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, so let's assume that someone is applying for a conventional loan, buying a home, putting down 10%. And we'll go here and punch everything in so you guys can kind of see the lenders that we see when we're pricing loans out. So here we have a conventional loan. You could choose any loan you want, but let's say a conventional. We'll also include affordable, which would be home possible, home ready programs. Purchase, let's say someone's buying a $450,000 house and they're putting down 10%. So the LTV is 90. Credit score, let's say they're, you know, we're seeing a lot of people that are very, very qualified, like 780 credit score, income of, let's say, $7,000 a month. First time home buyer, and they're buying in Illinois. All right, so let's get rid of that. Now what I'm doing is it's scanning all the lenders that are that report to this system what their rates are currently. All right. My mouse is, there we go. So here's the loan.
I'm blind.
Yeah. So like this lender right here, this is a very good lender that we use quite a bit. Provident. They like the cream of the crop. So if you really have no issues with your financing, this would be a great lender to use. So here you open it up and, you know, this is kind of the rate stack. So if you want to pay $14,000 in fees, you can get a rate of 5.25. It's not going to be recommended, but you know, that would be, this is essentially the rate stack. So this number right here, this 6 1/8, is what's called the par rate. So it's not providing you any credit or any discount. So you could go a little bit lower if you wanted a 6% rate. It would cost you about $1,500 in points. If you wanted to get a credit. So a credit is used to pay for your closing cost or part of them. If you wanted a little bit higher of a rate, like 6.375, that would give you a credit of $2,500. So this is kind of how we, you know, scan our system, because every day the lender that is, you know, has the best pricing changes. And that's one of the advantages of working with a broker, because we can capitalize on every, you know, rate improvement from each individual investor of ours.
And as you can see on there, also every one of those says wholesale. So a lot of these banks and credit unions or lenders, you as a consumer, you can't get there. So the best analogy I'd like to make on this is, you know, instead of you going to Kroger's or Dominick's or Jewel or wherever you go to buy your groceries, you know, it's like going to Sam's Club or Costco. It's a wholesale club. You have to do a lot of volume or you have to pay a membership. Well, in this case, you can't get into most of these lenders because they're wholesalers. They're only set up with other banks and brokers. So you can see every one of those says wholesale. So some of those companies, you might be able to reach out on a retail side of the equation, but you're not going to get the same prices or same, when we call prices, the same rates that we would on the wholesale side. So that just, hopefully that clarifies you, because you can't go out and call, you know, Provident Bank directly and get these kind of rates. There's, again, and there's some companies in here you don't even have access to. So that's a perfect one. Alan, you mentioned something about a home possible and home ready. So I'll go back to, so if you're looking at somebody that's looking to buy their first home, those programs, what would the rates look like for those? And what's the parameters behind a home possible and a home ready program?
Yeah. So home possible, home ready is for any loan that a borrower, I should say, that has their income is 80% or less than the area median income. So a lot of times when you call in and you know, we ask for what our rates are, we'll kind of go through those questions figure out what your income is, and then we'll ask you your zip code, because that will tell us what the income needs to be in order to qualify for that, underneath that median income for that area. But you're basically, you're going to get a little bit lower rate, and you're going to get lower mortgage insurance if you're putting down less than 20%. So it's, if you can fit in that program, it's an excellent one, because you'll get a lower overall payment.
How much, what's the minimum down payment for that program?
3%.
Okay. Can you plug that? What was, so the rate on this one is 6.125.
Yeah, that one is home ready, actually.
Okay. Because it hit what if you went in and put in the income or no income in? What would, if that wasn't a home ready, what would the rate look like? Is it that much different?
Yeah, let's see.
And I want any comments while you're waiting on us. I want your comments down below. Do you guys think the government's going to come to an agreement by the end of the week? I know every time the CNBC comes on here at the office, I turn up the volume because there's like, okay, there's another update from the Washington. So I keep watching that. So if you guys have any input while we're especially live, if you can provide that to us, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah. So in this situation, it's a quarter higher. That makes a huge difference just by one click of a button, really. And you're going to want to make sure you're working with someone that is asking you those questions, because then they're putting you in the best possible loan that's available to you.
Yeah, I always feel like I'm a pain, because somebody's going to ask, hey, what's your rate today and your fees? Then you're like, okay, well, what's your zip code? And then what's your income?
Yeah.
What's your property value?
Yeah.
And you're asking so many questions. Now you can see why, because if you take out that number, so let's say Alan didn't put in that your income, and it didn't search that platform for you, your rate would be 0.25% higher. So these are just the little things that we can kind of do behind the scenes. So let's go, let's take that one. Let's see what that one would look like with an FHA. So if we just go over to FHA, would it be easier to do that or just lower the credit? Well, let's lower the credit score. So let's say on this one, you have a 620 credit score, say. This might be an intro to show you how FHA in some instances is a much, much better program, even when it comes to like with the PMI. And I'm going to explain the PMI here in a second as well.
Yeah. So I changed it to FHA, 3.5% down. That's going to be the minimum down payment for an FHA. So that's 96.5 loan to value with a 620 credit score. So someone that has, quite a bit lower score than the previous example. You get a better rate. Imagine that, 599.
With a 620 credit score. And so what's when you add the MI into that payment right there, the top one, what's the overall payment? Because I want to compare what the conventional would be with PMI to this one. So FHA, you're at what?
2844.
And if you now run that same scenario through conventional, if you don't mind.
With the same credit score?
Yep, just change the FHA to conventional. Everything else the same. You don't even have to change the loan to value. Just
the mortgage insurance is going to be atrocious. Total payment. This is at a 699 rate, so 1 point higher would be $3,559. Mortgage insurance of $600 and $673 a month. So
that's almost $800 difference. That's an $800 difference when it comes to that. So that's the benefit. Now here I'm going to throw another curveball. Here's where also VA comes into play, because 12%. I did a video not too long. It might have been about a year ago, and I found out 12% of veterans use their benefits, and that just floored me. So take this one and even keep everything the same. But if you're a veteran, you don't need to put any money down. But let's just look at this, because what'll benefit you here is you won't have the monthly, the PMI figure that we were discussing. So anytime you don't put down 20%, you have to pay what's called PMI. FHA, no matter if you get an FHA loan or not, you pay PMI, or they call it MIP. You can even put 50% down, and it's kind of the same scenario.
Yeah, so if we just change it to VA, same credit score. Yeah, 6%, no mortgage insurance, total payment of $2,660.
Yeah, so $200 less than FHA and almost $1,000 less than conventional. That's crazy. Okay, so let's just get to a couple questions, and then we'll come back to, you know, going over points. When maybe you do that, when you might want to do that, and what we really call it. Then I'm going to go over the 2-1 buy down. If you're building a house, this is probably the program that you're most likely going to look into, or you should look into. So Alan, you could take this one if you don't mind.
I bought for the first time April of 24, rate is at 6.25, single family home in Arizona. From what I have seen, still not low enough to refinance. Going off of that, I would agree. If you can get 6.25 on a 30-year fixed now conventional, that's a good rate. So, if you have a VA loan or an FHA, you might be able to get down to the mid to high fives. I think that you're right. You probably want the rates to come down a little bit further before you look at refinancing.
Yeah.
Now,
Brandon,
Arizona, we've noticed that the closing costs are very, very reasonable. Title is only like $800, so the closing cost is going to be much less in your state than most of the country. So the cost time to recoup your cost is going to be reduced greatly. But 6.25, you're not going to get much better than that right now.
Yeah. The thing you might want to do, and we're creating these behind the scenes. We're going to come out with 3 or 4 really cool calculators here soon to help you, really make that decision. Because, if you have a $2 million loan and you can get a rate that's maybe 1/4 or 3/8 lower, it might be worth it. If your loan was $100,000, you're going to need like 1% in the reduction of the rates to really make much of a difference. So, it also depends on your loan size. That's a great question, but Brandon, you're in a great position. Check out that the Rate Watch 2.0 that we just created. Just a tidbit, I'll show you guys what we did recently. So on our website, we have what we call Rate Watch 2.0. So if you're out there and you're trying to figure out, what is the best time to refinance and so forth, here's what I need you to do. Just go up here. If you've already filled this out, please do it again, because this one is like on the Rate Watch 1, but this is like on steroids. So it's going to be audio. I'll be the one managing behind the scenes. So don't be surprised if you get a call or a text from me saying, hey, your Rate Watch triggered. The last system we used was we got overloaded, I guess is the best way to say that. So I had to automate this system to help me manage through it. So if you haven't signed up for this, or if you have signed up, go to the Rate Watch tool. What this is going to do is this is for those looking to refinance. And what we want you to do is just put in your mortgage information and then tell us what rate you're looking for to refinance. So in your case, for example, Brandon, I would put in here, you want 5.25, and then, fill out the forms. And it's only going to me. So I'll be the one calling or emailing you or whatever. So just fill this out. It'll get set up in a system. I'll be reaching out to you, or Alan even will be sending videos to you as soon as your Rate Watch triggers. So that's a system that we just launched, and it was just launched actually this morning. So happy for that to come in, because it's sure needed right now at this time with all these, with everybody looking to refinance. So let's get on to the next question, and Alan, I'll bring your screen back up on the horizon. You can take the questions if you don't mind. I talk way too much.
Yeah. Does your agency do DSCR loans on a fourplex? Absolutely. DSCR is a great program for the rental community. For those of you that don't know, a DSCR is going to use the rental income that the property generates to qualify. So as long as that rental income exceeds the mortgage payment by $1, we don't need to use any of your personal income, which is a great program. So yeah, absolutely. We do them. We'd love to talk to you about it.
How many units can we go up to now on DSCRs?
I think there's a few lenders that will go up to 8 or 9. That's going to be anything over 4 is going to be commercial, but we do have a few niche lenders that will do those. So
yes,
yeah, 8 or 9.
Cool. So yeah, if you got a multi-unit out there and you need some help, reach out to us. We'd love to help, especially if you're an investor with a big property like that. Many times it's hard to get those rent rolls to equal out. So it's a great program for a lot of people. What else we got? So you can take it away.
What are the rates and typical cost? It would be a less than 70% LTV and good credit score. This is the same gentleman, I think, that was asking about the DSCR. You know, that would be something that we're really going to want to price out individually. We've seen rates anywhere from 7 to 9, just depends on a lot of factors. Typical cost. That's too vague of a question to really point down, because we would want to look at what are the title costs, what are the recording, what are there transfer stamps. So we really would need to know an address to get you a pretty accurate quote. We could do that. We would just need to know, you know, what the address was, and then give us an hour or so, and we can get that to you.
Yeah. Actually, if you guys want to just email, you can just email me, and me or Alan will be answering those things. So there's our email down below. You're welcome to email us with any questions that you guys have. And that's it on the question piece of the equation. So let's go back to, I want to get back to some of the questions or the kind of layout we were trying to go with. So now, Alan, go through one of these, because a lot of people, the first thing they're asking, remember about 5 years ago, nobody was paying points. They weren't paying anything. They're like, I want the lowest rate, no points. No. Now it's like the first question people have are, can I buy down the rate? So can you go over how that works and how, you know, because most of the times here's the question I get. Okay, Dan, the rate's 6. You know, what is it? How much is it going to cost me for, you know, 5.875? And a lot of people, and I get it, a lot of people are just looking for a number. You know, it's a quarter point or this, but it doesn't work that way.
So yeah,
can
so
kind of explain that.
I guess the best way to answer that would to kind of go through this a typical situation. So we can, you know, let's use a purchase of 5% down, conventional, 780 credit score, first time home buyer, $7,000 in income. So when someone says, you know, what's your, let's say, base rate or par, if we search the price that the closest to 100 is basically what we're going to be doing for par. So let's pull that up. It should be right around 6375. So that, when you open this up, if you want the rate of 5875, it's definitely possible. But in this situation, it's going to cost 1.1 1/8, and that is going to be 1.125% of whatever the loan amount is. So if the loan amount is, what is it here? It's 427. That comes out to be $4,800.
But the odd thing is, you go to another lender, and it's completely different.
Yeah, so let's see who has the least cost at 5.875, if that's the rate that someone wants. We can search our lenders by whoever has the lowest cost to get that rate. It might be this Provident, but at least we'll know for sure it is. The next closest one is Loan United, and that's going to cost, it's about a $300 more cost. So that's, you know, when you open this up, it shows the rate stack. So, you know, this would be considered I would say 6.25 is basically par. There is no rate that costs zero or provides zero credit, but that's the closest to zero. But yeah, if you wanted a rate of 5.625, you can get it, but it's going to cost $9,000. In points.
Contributing
fortune. So, you know, this is the rate stack.
So the rate stack, it's different than the what we call the 2-1 buy down. So let's get over to what a lot of people might be interested in or might want to look into if they're using a builder. So a lot of times the builders, they're giving you a ton of credits. So here's what I would suggest to do. So here's the calculator, and I'll try, like I said, I'll try to put this down below. This is the technique I've been using or telling people to use when they're using builder credits. Let's say you're getting $30,000 and all your fees are $15,000. You got $15,000 left. Okay. So they might want you to buy it down permanently or whatever, but you know that rates are coming down. And most of the time that lender, the preferred lender, has a little bit higher rate. So I always say, you know, don't really argue with them on the rate. Get as much money as you can. Okay. So let's say in this one, we're getting an extra $15,000. So here's how this works. I'm getting a loan. My loan amount is, let's say, $352,000. The rate that the lender's giving me, I'm just going to say right now, they 6.75 is, it's up there. But let's say they're giving me a 6.99 rate, but they're going to give me all that money in credits. Okay. Here's how this works. This thing doesn't help you at all if this is your own money. And basically, here's how it works. Your payment for the first, on this one, it's a 1.10 buy down, means for the first year, your payment is going to be based on a rate at 5.99. Okay, so that payment should technically be $2,340. But what it is it's actually $2,108 because you're subsidizing each monthly payment, the difference, which is 231, by the amount of money you set aside at the closing. That, remember that extra money that the builder had? Okay, so we're using this to kind of spread out and help you save money or reduce that monthly payment as much as you can. So let's say we had a little more money. Well, we're going to go down through here, and now we're going to get a 1-1 buy down. So for the first year, you're getting that same 599 payment. And because it's a 1-1, it's going to be the same thing for the second year. So it's 1% lower, 599. So you're going to need now $5,552 in kind of an escrow account. So every month, $231 subsidizes the payments to make you go in full. But we have 15 grand left. So let's go down through here. Here we go. An option you might want to do is right through here. It's called a 3-2-1 buy down. So what we're going to do is we're going to fund this account with the $15,000 that the lender, the preferred lender gave us in credits. Yeah, we're a little short, but I just want you to understand how it works. So there's $16,000 there. So year one, because it's a 3-2-1 buy down, meaning year one, actually the payment is based on a rate that's 3% lower than your real rate. Year two, it's going to be 2% lower. And then year one, it'll be 1% lower. So here's what those numbers look like. So again, we'll go through here. The first year, your payment's going to be based on a 3.99 rate, okay? So the payments, instead of being $2,340, it's $1,678, a difference of $661 a month. So there's going to be $661 a month coming out of this amount each month for the first year to subsidize these payments. Okay, you understand? So what a lot of people are doing is they're doing one of these. But what they're doing is coming back now is, well, a lot of the lenders are closed it already, or like 7.5. So what a lot of people are doing now, they're saying, okay, well, I can get into this at 6.5. Okay, I have $8,000 in lender credits still remaining. I can refinance, get almost the same rate I would have now. I'm going to get $8,000 principal reduction on my mortgage. This is like equating out to prepaying your mortgage for like 3, 4, 5 years. So this is a huge benefit. I lost you. You know, schedule a consultation with us. We'd love to walk you through how all this stuff works. But let's go back to, and I'll try to post that this link down below so you guys can have access to it. That's truly, you know, what that 2-1 or 3-2-1 or 1-1 buy down really is all about. So Alan, I'll bring it back up to your screen here. And let's see what we got. I'm going to go through some other scenarios that we might have. Okay, if you could go over and help everybody understand locking. So we get a contract in today, and the customer, the buyer, they're not closing for 37 days. What advice do you have? Should you lock? Should you float? You take it from there.
Yeah, so I'll start from the beginning of locks, really. Whenever you lock a rate, you lock it for a certain period of time. Usually, you want that period of time to be 30 days or less. That's going to get you the best price and the best rate. So, you know, if you're 37 days away, if you lock in a 30-day lock, that doesn't do you any good. That rate's going to expire before you close. So we would recommend either a 45-day lock or possibly float for a week or so until you're within that 30 days. But there's a lot of things that we can do. You know, some lenders that we work with have free extensions. So maybe we can lock it for 30 days and get a 7-day free extension. So there's some options there. But when you lock a rate, your rate's locked for typically 30 days. If you go past that, the rates are a little bit higher if you go past a 30-day lock. And in order to lock a rate, you really need to have a purchase contract executed. So if you were to call in to us and kind of go over rates, if you don't have a home under contract, you know, rates change 2-3 times, sometimes 4 a day. So if you call back the next day, they might be different. They might be lower or higher, just depending on what rates did. But a 30-day lock is going to get you the best pricing with almost every lender out there.
Another question I got, I'm just going to throw them at you. These are the questions I get every day as well. The fees, the reluctancy of a lot of people refinancing. I just watched a CNBC episode about this. Was the reluctancy is two things. One, rates are probably going to come down further, so I'm just going to wait. That's number one. Number two, the closing costs. When I bought my house, the closing costs were like $12,000. It doesn't make any sense for me to refinance. So why should I refinance? You know, I'm going to save $200-$300 a month, but it's going to cost me $12,000. What's your comments on kind of those two things?
Yeah, typically the closing costs for a refinance are a fraction of what they are for a purchase. You're going to see that the title cost, which is typically the greatest cost in any mortgage transaction, is much, much less. You don't typically need to fund your escrow account the same amount as you did when you bought the home. A lot of times the recording is less. So the fees for a refinance are going to be much, much less than when you bought the home. And another thing to think about is let's say you close mid-October. Your first payment won't be due until December 1st. So you could end up skipping two payments if you think of it that way.
And good time of year.
Yeah. And you also will get an escrow refund with whatever your escrow balance is with your current loan. So, you know, if you look on your statement, it always shows you what your escrow balance is. If it's $3,000, and your refinance cost were $4,000, you're getting $3,000 of that back when that loan's paid off. So,
because it's the escrow, can't I just roll that escrow into the new loan?
I wish, but no, it you can't carry that over to the new loan. You have to reestablish an escrow account, gotcha. But then you do get refunded whatever the balance is of the loan that's being refinanced.
Got it.
But okay. You know, to your original question, the refinance costs are a fraction of what they were when you bought the home.
Got it.
It's just the title costs are lower, the recordings lower, the escrow needed is lower. The overall costs are just lower.
A lot of times
where you don't even need an appraisal. So that saves you $600-$700 right there.
Well, the wild thing is I was doing a video recently about title fees. And I just ran I forget what title company we had, we ran quotes through. I ran my house, buying my house as a purchase. It was like $12,000 in title fees. Refi, it was $895. And I'm like, this is nuts. So that's why I had to do a video on it because, you know, it's like, you know, you don't see that. I don't see that part of it a lot of times. But when I ran that numbers, I'm like, that is crazy. So I can understand why a lot of people are just, you know, sitting back saying, I'm not going to spend another $10,000 to save $200. I get it. The thing right now, what a lot of people are doing is just, you know, I get it. You're sitting on the sidelines because, okay, the markets are all messed up. The Fed's going to cut. Hey, the government shut down. What's going to go on with rates? rates. Here's the thing that we don't know. We don't know. So if this gets worse and worse and worse, it's not going to be good news for the economy. It's not going to be good news for anything. The employment numbers are going to go bad. You're going to see, you know, our bond market not doing too well. So it could go real bad. On the other side, it could just wash out in 2 weeks or just back to normal. And then we can see how the economy is going, get picked back up on the jobs report numbers. So what I'm getting at is you might not want to look a gift horse in the mouth, or at least check in to see, you know, with the rate you're at now and with your mortgage, does it make sense? Will it be cost effective? And again, just go to our website, schedule a consultation from down below, or just go to our website and fill out the new rate 2.0 or RateWatch 2.0. We'd love to be able to help you. So let's go and see if there's any other questions. If there's not, Alan and I are going to get back on the phones and get caught up with the rest of this stuff. So I really don't have any other questions that I might have. Anything you want to throw out there?
You know, just, you know, if you're on the fence of refinancing, just send us a statement. We can get a pretty detailed quote of what it's going to cost you for free. So, you know, it doesn't cost anything to do it, but it, you know, it could be costing you quite a bit to not do it. So I would say if you're on the fence, just reach out to us and we can get an idea if it even makes sense. And we'll tell you if it makes sense or not. I mean, if we would do it ourselves. So.
Yeah. And that's kind of how we operate here. It's like, you know, would I do it? Because if you ever talk to me, a lot of times you'll hear me say, well, I don't know what I would do. So if you want to reach out to us, it's pretty simple. Just go to therateupdate.com. Our phone number is right here at the top. You can actually ask me a question right through here. Just click the button and ask me a question. And if you want to get set up with that rate watch that we just talked about, this used to be to refinance. It kind of looks the same, but it's a completely different system that you're going to go through. It's getting updated. We're kind of retweaking this thing to make it a little more fancy for you as well when you're filling out the data. But fill it out. Yours truly will be the one monitoring this behind the scenes. And like I said, don't be surprised at some point if you get a phone call from me and it's like, hey, it's Dan here. Your rate watch just triggered. So let's look at the numbers, see what the savings looks like, and maybe we can help you save some money, get you locked in, and the paperwork started. So thanks a lot for watching today, folks. That is our live event showing you kind of behind the scenes how we really do what we call, we say, one application, one credit pool, going to compare your loan over 30 different lenders. So thanks for watching, folks.